Good morning.
Welcome all of you this morning on this fourth Sunday of Advent. We welcome our guests and visitors this morning. And in your bulletins, you'll see under our refrigerator news the week's activities. Really, the only thing we have is Christmas Eve. We hope that you can come to our live nativity scene at 6 o'clock Christmas Eve, and we'll have refreshments after that, and then there'll be a time of our Christmas Eve service at 7 o'clock, and we invite all of you to come to that. Before we have our opening song of praise, I want to make an announcement, too, that if you haven't gotten a candle, to make sure you get one. We're going to be lighting these. They're very simple. You don't have to worry about lighting a match or anything like that. They told me how to do it. There. See, there you go. Just goes like that. We're going to be using that for our closing songs this morning is a candlelight carol medley. So you'll be using those for our closing songs. Do we have any other announcements this morning?
Merry Christmas. We can do better than that. Merry Christmas. There you go. Get some Christmas cheer. Just a reminder for those helping the live nativity, at 5 o'clock we will meet here in the sanctuary to get our costumes, and then we'll go out and we'll do just a run through of it, and we'll meet downstairs in the Youth Fellowship Hall the old Fellowship Hall, for pizza. And if you want to just bring a little snack or a drink to share, that would be great. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other announcements? Before we begin, let's go ahead and have a moment and just kind of stand up and greet your neighbor this morning before we have our call to worship. So take a moment and greet your neighbor. If we could have our praise team come forward, we're going to go ahead and begin our songs of praise. Please stand if you're able. We're going to sing our opening songs of praise, O Come Emmanuel. Let's stand and sing this to the Lord.
Save and give them victory, O
Join me in the call to worship. This morning's call to worship is a responsive reading. How shall we sort through the sounds and songs of Christmas? We shall listen with an ear tuned to the good news of peace and goodwill on earth. We shall listen with a heart tuned to the spirit of a gift given in love. We shall listen and enter the joy of this season as those who have once again heard the Lord's song in a strange and commercial land and have been touched by its familiarity, its meaning, and its miracle. We shall remember, and in that reliving, there will be real joy. You may be seated. This time we'll have the lighting of the Advent candle.
We have two of our granddaughters to help us this morning. So good morning. We welcome you on this fourth Sunday of Advent. Today's Bible reading is from the prophet Isaiah. Listen to the word of the Lord. Isaiah 7:10-16. The prophet Isaiah spoke these words about 700 years before Jesus was born. The nation of Judah was in the midst of a war against Syria, and God promised King Ahaz that Judah would prevail by giving them a sign. That sign was Emmanuel, which means God with us. 700 years later, the angel came to Joseph in a dream and told him to take Mary as his wife. The angel spoke the same words that Isaiah spoke, and the angel assured Joseph that Jesus would be born as a fulfillment of the prophecy of Isaiah. As we will see in today's message, the Gospel of Matthew takes the step of Emmanuel further and says that the sign of Jesus will save people from their sin. Matthew 1:21. Jesus is God present among us to save us from sin, the root of evil doing. Christ came to save us from separation from God. It is no wonder that the angel's words to Mary and Joseph and the shepherds were, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good tidings of great joy that will be to all people." Can we receive this good news today? Let us pray. God of angels and sheep, God of the poor and meek, in these few days before Christmas, quiet us to hear the good news of the coming of Jesus Christ. Open our hearts to the wonder of Emmanuel, God with us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So we are going to light the fourth candle of Advent to celebrate the good news of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Let us pray our invocational prayer in unison. Let us pray. With joy, we prepare for your coming, O God. We welcome you with song and herald your birth throughout the world. Keep our spirits full of joy. Help us to make room in our hearts for you. and give us a joy-filled faith as we share the good news with others. Amen. Before we have our offering, we'll just go ahead and have the children's story now, so the children can come forward for the children's story.
Oh, there's some more. So how is everybody today? Good? Good. All right. Be careful of our sheep. All right. What is going to happen later this week?
Christmas.
Yes. And don't you just love all the beautiful Christmas decorations?
Yeah, and I like the presents.
And you like the presents, of course. Everybody likes to get something,
yeah,
don't we?
And I like when it's Jesus' birthday.
Yeah. Whose birthday is it again?
Jesus.
Exactly. We're going to talk about that today. But why do you think we see so many angels at Christmas time? Do you know? Here's one that I got off of my tree. Do you know why?
They're the one that we led the wise men to Jesus.
Yeah, see, wise men and shepherds. We always hear about the shepherds. But we're going to talk about one person today that heard from an angel what was going to happen. And this is from the book of Matthew, okay? How did you know?
Joseph.
Yes, it's Joseph. I got some smart kids up here. Oh, my goodness. You probably could just tell me the story, couldn't you? Yeah. Well, what I want you to do is when you hear the word angel during the story, what do angels do? Do they have wings?
Yes.
Can you flap your wings?
Yes.
Okay. When I say angel, flap your wings. Angel. There you go. Just have to be careful and try not to hit your neighbor, okay? Go ahead and you can have a seat. Have a seat, and we'll flap our wings in just a minute, okay? So, our Bible lesson today from the book of Matthew tells us about a visit from an angel. Where's my angels? Flap your wings. There you go.
Yeah.
There we go. Now, Joseph and Mary were engaged to be married. Can you imagine the thoughts that came to Joseph's mind when he discovered that Mary was going to have a baby and they weren't married yet? He probably asked himself, "What do I do now?" Joseph was a good man and did not want to disgrace Mary publicly, so he decided that it would be better to break off the engagement quietly. While he was considering this, an angel, flap your wings, there you go, appeared to him in a dream. "Don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife," the angel said. "The child that is inside her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. She will have a son, and you are to name him
Jesus.
Thank you. For he will save the people from their sins." When the angel, flap your wings, of the Lord had spoken and made God's plan clear, Joseph was obedient. What's obedient mean? That's a big word. Obedient means you probably heard obey. Has your parents ever said, "Can you obey me?" Yes. Obey means you listen and you do what someone tells you to do. Yes. So Joseph was obedient to God. He did what God and the angel said. He didn't have to understand how everything was going to happen. He didn't need to worry about what anyone else would think. Joseph trusted God and obeyed him. Now, sometimes when you and I may find ourselves in a situation where we don't know what to do, like Joseph, we might ask ourselves, "What do I do now?" And if we listen to God, he will tell us what to do. He probably won't speak to us through an angel. The girls got it in the back. Angel, where are they at? But he will speak to us through what? What did God give us that he will speak to us to? Do you know?
Heart.
Well, not just our heart, not just the Holy Spirit, but what? There's a book that we can read. What's it called? Thank you.
Bible.
Yes, the Bible. He gives us the Bible. And we need to listen to it and obey what it says. Okay, so one more time. Angels, flap your wings. Show everybody. There you go. Okay, now let's pray. You ready? Pray with me. Dear God.
Dear God.
We are filled.
With joy.
By the many lessons.
By the many lessons.
We learn. When we accept. Jesus as God's Son. Help us read your word and listen as you give us the answers to life's difficult questions. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, you can go back to your seats.
Let us read our offertory statement taken from Matthew 2, verse 11, as we prepare to give our offerings to the Lord. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for giving us the greatest gift of all, which is Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And Lord, we lift up this time of our offering to you. We pray for the many needs in our world and our community, Lord, where the gospel is needed, where your love is needed, Lord. We pray that we as a church might reach out to those, Lord, who need to know more about you. We also pray for the ministry of this church, that these offerings would provide for those gifts. We pray, Lord, that we would always continue to have a heart to give to you. And we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. The praise team can come up this morning as we sing our offertory song, and the ushers can come forward as we take our morning offering.
Forever more, forever more.
people in church that we need to remember in prayer this morning, so I'd ask that you remember those in prayer. And before I have our morning prayer, I'd like to read this. This was given to me by Grace Ziegler. It's a really good reading. It's called, "Twas the Night Before Jesus Came." And as I read this, let's prepare our hearts for our prayer. "'Twas the night before Jesus came, and all through the house, not a creature was praying, not one in the house. Their Bibles were laying on the shelf without care in hopes that Jesus would not come there. The children were dressing to crawl into bed, not once ever kneeling or bowing a head. And Mom in her rocker with baby on her lap was watching the late show while I took a nap. When out of the east there rose such a clatter, I sprang to my feet to see what was the matter. Away to the window I flew like a flash, tore open the shutters and threw up the sash. When what to my wondering eyes should appear but angels proclaiming that Jesus was here. With a light like the sun sending forth a bright ray, I knew in a moment this must be the day. The light of his face made me cover my head. It was Jesus, returning just like he had said. Although I possessed worldly wisdom and wealth, I cried when I saw him in spite of myself. In the book of life, which he held in his hand, was written the name of every saved man. He spoke not a word as he searched for my name. When he said, 'It's not here,' my head hung in shame. The people whose names had been written with love, he gathered to take to his Father above. With those who were ready, he rose without a sound, while all the rest were left standing around. I fell to my knees, but it was too late. I had waited too long and thus sealed my fate. I stood and I cried as I rose out of sight. Oh, if only I had been ready tonight." In the words of this poem, the meaning is clear. The coming of Jesus is drawing near. There's only one life, and when comes the last call, we'll find that the Bible was true after all. Let us pray. Lord, as we come into your house of worship this morning, we thank you for this privilege and honor of worshiping you. Lord, as the reading of the poem said, we know that we are living in the last days when we wait for your coming, much like everyone waited for the birth of Jesus Christ. We pray, O Lord, that you would change our hearts. If we have a bitter heart towards someone or towards you, God, we pray that we would have a changed heart so that we would be ready to receive you, Lord. Lord, this morning, I pray for each one who's gathered here this morning that you would speak to our hearts this morning in this time of service. We pray for the many people who need a special prayer right now, for the ones on a prayer concern list, for each one of those persons, Lord, who are going through difficult times, for those who are going through health crises. We lift them to you in prayer this morning. We pray your healing touch to be with each one. We pray for our president right now and for our country. Lord, only you can give us guidance and direction right now. We just pray, Lord, that you would uphold the president and be with the members of Congress during this time, that, Lord, that they would know that only you, Lord, have the answers to what our country needs, what our nation needs. And we pray that we, as your people in the church, might be the light of Jesus Christ, to all of us, to all those around. And that, Lord, that light would shine. Prepare our hearts this week for the coming of Jesus Christ.
Prepare our hearts for our Christmas Eve service, Lord, where we are, Lord willing, we will gather here to celebrate the eve of your birth. We pray now that you would open up our hearts and minds as we look into your word, as we look into the account of the birth of our Lord and Savior. And Lord, we pray all this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and all of God's people said, amen. Turn with me to our scripture text today. Our reading, scripture reading today is taken from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. This morning we're going to be looking at the account of Jesus' birth according to Matthew. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. The birth of Jesus Christ is a message that never gets old. Hear the word of the Lord. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she'll bring forth a son. He shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus. May God add a blessing of the reading of his holy word. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for these words. Your word, Lord, which inspires us, which draws us closer to you. And I pray now that you would guide every word that I speak, Lord. That it would bring glory and honor to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. In his name we pray. Amen. Some of you may know that I am the youngest child in a family of six. I'm the sixth born. My oldest sister is from California, and she is 16 years older than me. And one day we were having a conversation about the time that I was born. She remembers the news when she found out that she was going to have another baby brother. She was talking to my mother, and she knew that something was going on with mom, but she wasn't quite sure, and she said to her, you're not having another baby, are you? There was no response from mom. She knew. The interesting thing is that my oldest sister didn't say, you know, that's great, Mom. I'm going to have another baby brother. There was nothing like that. No, it would become that I would be a burden. I'd become a burden to my oldest sister who ended up babysitting for me. Everyone has what I call a birth story. Just talk to parents who remembers when their child was born. Each child has a unique story to tell. And this describes Jesus' birth. The birth of Jesus is a special story. It's a sacred story that's been told over and over again through the ages. And it's a story that never gets old. And we need to honor the story of Christ's birth this morning. How do the gospel writers describe Jesus' birth? Well, Matthew and Luke are the two gospel writers who describe Jesus' birth in a different and unique way. The Gospel of Luke describes Jesus' birth from the perspective of Mary. Luke also describes the birth of Jesus with the telling of the angels and the shepherds announcing the good news of Jesus' birth. Matthew, on the other hand, describes Jesus' birth from the perspective of Joseph. In fact, Joseph is the main man who's at the center of Jesus' birth in today's lesson. And I want us, first of all, to look at Joseph. What kind of man was Joseph? What kind of man was he? Well, he was a man of good character. One biblical commentator describes Joseph as a man of quiet strength. He was someone who was obedient to God, someone who was good behind the scenes, not really up front, not flashy. He always obeyed God, never questioned anything that God said to him. But I believe the main point that Joseph is noted for the most was his ability to make drastic changes in his life in order to fulfill Jesus' birth. Because, let me tell you, he had to make a big change when Jesus was born. Joseph is also someone who needs to be honored. He's someone, I think, who gets overlooked when it comes to Mary. Nothing against Mary. Mary's great. But Joseph is someone who we don't really see. We don't see him on Hallmark cards, but he is someone who deserves a lot of honor. I want us, first of all, to look at what Joseph was going through when he heard the news that Mary would give birth to Jesus. If you look at Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, it says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit." Joseph was in the process of getting married here. And he was someone who wanted to do the right thing. He's someone who wanted to make sure every step was in order. Joseph was raised in the Jewish faith in his background. I'm sure he was one who wanted to follow the customs and beliefs of his Jewish background. He was an obedient Jew. And he was someone who was, I think, under pressure to make sure he did everything proper as someone who is getting married according to the Jewish law. William Barclay, in a biblical commentary, says that there were three steps of marriage in Joseph's day. There was the arranged marriage, and some scholars believe this is what Mary and Joseph had. Some believe that Mary and Joseph had an arranged marriage that goes back to their childhood. The second stage was the betrothal period. Not the engagement, but the betrothal period. That is when they were had 1 year to get married. That was a period where it was a legally binding contract that could not be broken according to the law. And the third one was the marriage itself. Marriage was a really big celebration in Jewish times. And so this is where Mary and Joseph were in their marriage. Marriage was a big thing, and it could not be broken. But then Joseph finds out that Mary's pregnant. Now, most guys would freak out about that. And Joseph's whole world is shattered. I mean, think what this meant for Joseph. What would his church elders think of this? According to the Bible, in Deuteronomy chapter 22, 23 to 24, the Jewish law says, if a young virgin and her betrothed husband are found lying with each other, they both should be stoned to death. In fact, It says, you shall put away the evil from among you. And so this is what Joseph's thinking. This is what I'm going to do. And Joseph, as a Jewish male, had every right to put Mary away. But his conscience said, wait a minute. He said, I need to think about this. That's an important part of the story. How many times do we make decisions without thinking, without praying? Well, Joseph had a heavy decision to make. Verse 20, look at verse 20. While he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. So it says in verse 20, he thought about these things. He didn't make a rash decision. He was thinking, what are the implications if I would put Mary away? What would her life be like? What would the baby's life be like? So he wanted to do the right thing. And while he was thinking about that, this is the best part, God came to him through an angel. While he was wrestling through, you know, what does this mean for me? You know, God speaking to me. What does this mean? And it was common for an angel to come to Joseph. In fact, there are three occasions where the angel appeared to Joseph in this story. So you can tell God's trying to get his attention. Whenever you have a heavy decision to make, it's always good to do what Joseph did and think on your decision. What's the right thing to do? What would God want me to do with any decision? Do that in prayer. And notice what happened when Joseph thought about this news he received about Mary. An angel appeared to him. God came to him. God told him what he should do. And the angel's first words to Joseph were, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Very common in Bible times. And I guarantee you that's exactly what was going on with Joseph when he found out Mary was pregnant. He was afraid of what this would mean. He was afraid what this would mean for his life. His whole world would be turned upside down. What would his family think? But Joseph, as we're going to see, would eventually follow God's plan. Sometimes what we think is bad news is actually good news. Think about that. Sometimes what we think is bad news is actually good news. Ask any couple who had an unexpected pregnancy. I can guarantee you that they don't regret having their child. I almost guarantee they'd say, we're so glad we did not abort our child. Because think of the guilt of taking the life away from their child. Taking away the life that God planned for that child. They'd have to live with that guilt for the rest of their lives. So Joseph is thinking, do I want to obey my Jewish elders and put Mary away and deal with that guilt for the rest of my life? Or do I want to take Mary as my wife and take the baby and obey God? Well, Joseph obeyed God. I have that in big words there. Joseph obeyed God in the insert. And the child became the Savior of the world. Look at the end of verse 20 and verse 21. Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son. You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. The birth of Jesus happened through Joseph's decision to follow God. Think about that. The birth of Jesus happened through Joseph's decision to follow God. And this is where Joseph had to trust and have faith in God and follow him. What is faith in God all about for us? Faith in God is all about not knowing what the future will bring, but you trust and believe that God knows what's best. Joseph didn't know what his life would be like in the future. What will it be like for me? He's thinking everyone's going to be examining everything I do since I'm going to have, you know, Jesus, you know, as a child there, as taking care of the child. We don't know the questions that he was asking, but we do have the assurance of the Word of God. And that's what Joseph had. Joseph had God's Word. God's Word. God's Word is everything that we need. Look at in your Bible in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8. It says, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. The word of our God never dies. It never changes. It will come true. So what does this mean for us as followers? When it comes to being a follower of God, when it comes to being a disciple of Jesus Christ, it's not an easy way to follow. There's an easy way to follow God, and there's a hard way. The easy way means that there's no risk of trusting God from day to day. You make your decisions by what you think is right. You call the shots. You're in control of your life. That's the easy way. That's the easy way of following God. If Joseph would have chosen the easy way of following God, he would have listened to his elders. He would have made decisions based on the law. But instead, he listened to God's way, which involved taking a leap of faith. Now, the interesting thing